So far, so good. We start hour number two by talking some hockey. We are joined right now by the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. He was named GM effective September 1st, 2019. Previously, he had served as assistant GM. Before joining Vegas, he was owner, governor, GM, and head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Vegas and Colorado living up to all the hype. They're tied up at two games apiece. Vegas is at Colorado this evening, 9 p.m. Eastern. Kelly McCrimmon is my guest. Kelly, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing real good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing it, Kelly. Great to have you. So Colorado jumped out to that 2-0 lead in the series. Then you go back home. You beat them two straight. How good did it feel to be back in front of your home fans in that raucous house and to get those two wins?
Well, home ice was a big part of it for us in Game 3 and 4. We've gradually increased our capacity throughout the season. Game 3 was the first that we'd been at full capacity, so we were over 18,000 both Games 3 and Game 4. And when you look at Game 3 trailing late in the third period, you have to ask yourself when that one's over. We did come back and score twice in 45 seconds to have a 3-2 win. The fans are a big part of that. I don't know that you do that in an empty building or away from home. So it was great to have full capacity in T-Mobile. It's a great home rink.
Hey, by the way, what an interesting point you just made, and I was going to ask you about the fans. But to that point, I mean, before Game 3, Colorado had won six straight playoff games, and they had not lost in the postseason this year, and they had barely even trailed. They had that lead, as you point out, in the third period. So what did your guys show you in the way they battled back in the third?
Well, we needed, I kept thinking to myself as the third period went on when they took the lead, we needed somebody to make a play. We needed somebody to make a play. And, of course, when you get deeper into the playoffs and you're playing really good teams, that's what you need is people to step up when needed. And Jonathan Marchessault was able to tie the game for us. Jonathan's had a great series. He had three goals again the next game. And then shortly after he scored to tie the game, the building was, very energized. Max Pacioretty deflected a Nick Holden shot to give us the 3-2 lead, which stood up as the winner. So, somebody to make that play, I think, is really what we were looking for. Unfortunately, Jonathan Marchessault was able to do that for us.
Kelly McCrimmon joining us. Exactly right. You need somebody to make a play. Chances are it's going to be that guy. Then the team follows up that Game 3 win with that 5-1 win, and he had a hat trick in that game. How huge was he in that situation? And then what do you make of the way the team performed overall in Game 4?
Well, we played really well in both. To be honest, we played really well in Game 2, which was a 3-2 loss to Colorado in overtime. So we went home down two games to zero. Obviously, Game 3 was a huge win to get us back in the series. Game 4 was probably our most complete game. And in that game, William Karlsson's line. So when you look at the makeup of our team, we're in our fourth season. The one, a lot of things have changed, but the one thing that has been a constant since, probably 2 or 3 weeks into season one was the line of Riley Smith, William Karlsson, and Jonathan Marchessault. So they played together for the most part entirely all four seasons, and their line really performed well in game two or game four. And, with Marchessault's hat trick leading the way.
Kelly McCrimmon is joining us. Kelly, you mentioned the fans, and I want to get into that because you know what you have, but it's really curious to me to see the way the opposition always reacts to it. As an example, Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar said after the game, quote, "It's loud. It's hard to hear anything in there. You could tell by my voice just talking on the bench, just trying to call the next line. I'm losing my voice. There's a lot of noise in that building." And the reason I mention that is you don't have one of the best fan bases in hockey. You have one of the best fan bases, to me, in all of sports. And when you consider the relationship the team has with the community, it becomes even stronger. How would you describe that relationship and the lift that everybody gets from that crowd?
Well, I think you've touched on it. It is just incredible, and it's unique. I've been in lots of loud buildings, but just the energy and the atmosphere and the party feel, the vibe that comes out of our building. It's really intimate. The way that the building is built, it's tight. It's a 17,500 person seating capacity. Then with standing room puts us over 18. But they're on top of you, and they come to enjoy the game. And it's interesting We'll oftentimes get fans from the visiting team, and our fans enjoy those people. It's they treat them well, which I don't think always happens when fans go on the road. But it's just a really good energy in the building. And to Jared Bednar's point, you couldn't talk to the guy beside you. It was that loud in there. And we rode that, and that gives our team energy, as you'd expect.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon. Of course, I want to ask you about Mark Stone. He was named the first captain in team history. I know that that's not a decision that was made lightly. And, in fact, the team had a lot of success without an official captain. So why was it important to give him the C? And then what kind of an impact have you noticed as a result?
Well, we had gone without a captain the first three seasons, and that was a little bit almost the identity of our team in the early stages was, we had 23 captains. We had players from all across the National Hockey League that were pushed to the curb by their existing team that came with something to prove. And it seemed to really be a good dynamic and a good way to have the leadership of those early teams formed. Derek Englin obviously was a huge part of our leadership group in the 3 years that he played. And it was working. I think we could have easily continued that way. But sometimes when you've got a guy you feel is the obvious guy, I think that you need to validate that person. And Mark has really grown in the role. We expected that he would. He's a player that's very passionate, leads by example, and yet is very humble. And I didn't, I think he'd put his own boundaries on what level of leadership he could provide wearing an A as opposed to wearing the C. And, for our organization, he's done exactly what we hoped he would do since being named captain, and that's provide leadership every night. And, of course, it's the key moments that you need that leadership when things aren't going well for your team or, just a different point in a game or a series now that we're in, playoffs. You rely on that leadership. So he's got a lot of respect from his teammates, and he wants to win. He plays to win. That's what you expect of your leader.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon, and we'll do so for a couple of more moments. You mentioned the playoffs and where you are at this point. The way they're structured this year, the first two rounds are divisional play, which means you're facing a Colorado team that you're very familiar with. Other people around the league have said there are no secrets at this point in the season. Does it feel that way to you? Is it just strength against strength at this point?
It really does. This year, was unique for so many reasons, but the makeup of the schedule where, we played seven other teams eight times is very unique. Ordinarily, you play, of course, every team in the NHL, and you weighted more in your division and then more in your conference and then only home and away with the Eastern Conference. But it gave teams a chance to know each other inside out. We played Minnesota in round one, and it was the exact same. We had hard-fought games with Minnesota all season. They're a team that's always given us trouble, so that was a real challenge in the opening round. And then, Colorado is the President's Trophy winner, and they're an incredibly talented, deep team that is, dangerous. Every time they're a threat to score with their skill and their speed. So. It has helped us that we know the team as well as we do, as opposed to an ordinary year we would play Colorado three times. This year we played Colorado eight times. So in terms of, knowing what we can do, knowing what we cannot do, it's been helpful.
Hey, listen, really quickly, maybe you answered it, but I was going to say, from the outside, it seems crazy. Like, even though the two teams have been on a collision course, and we knew this, it still seems pretty crazy to have a second-round series between the two teams with the best record in the regular season. So what's it like for you and the organization to deal with that challenge this early in the postseason?
Well, we've known all year if we were going to move out of the Western Division that in all likelihood we were going to have to go through Colorado. So they felt the same, and it's a stiffer challenge than what you'd expect in round two, but it is what it is. So I also believe that playing the best teams makes you better. So Minnesota in round one, I think, helped us be prepared for this series because of the test they gave us. So, maybe for ourselves or Colorado who comes out of this series, maybe it's going to help them for the subsequent round.
And then on top of that, Kelly, I would imagine the thinking's got to be in your locker room that they've got to deal with you, just like you got to deal with them. He is the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, and what a great series this is. They're tied up at 2 games apiece, Vegas at Colorado this evening. Kelly, I really appreciate the conversation, and especially on a game night. Thanks so much for doing that, and good luck.
Yeah, you bet, Jim. Thanks very much for having me.
Great to have you. Thanks so much. Talking some hockey.